It's that time of the evening and that time of the week where we talk through the latest technology. The gadget detective, Fevzi Turkalp, is with us. Good evening.
Evening.
Nice to talk to you. So let's talk data protection. Funny enough, I heard David talking about it on the breakfast show this morning then. So seemingly a bit of flag waving going on about we could have some of the best, depending on how you see best, data protection laws in the whole world. Talk us through what the proposed changes are.
I know, and it's quite funny when you consider that this is basically instilling in British law what's already in European law, so we kind of have to do it. So these are new data rights for citizens. We leave digital footprints as we walk across the internet, and we set up social media profiles or we register with companies to have an account to do one thing or another. But over a period of time, that data just stays out there, can be there for years or decades. And until recently, we have very limited rights to tell them to take it down. That sort of thing can cause problems. I mean, it can actually blight a person's existence in certain circumstances if they post unwisely as a child or as a teenager, and years later that's there stopping them getting jobs because employers do check that sort of thing. So there's all sorts of things that these laws do. It makes it simpler for people to withdraw their consent for personal data to be used. It lets people ask for their data to be deleted, and it requires them to obtain explicit consent when they process personal data. And also the definition of data, personal data, has been increased. It includes what's called IP addresses. So the node you were on when you access the internet, your own DNA is personal data. I mean, your DNA can be held on a database these days. And also small text files known as cookies, which are the little text files that tend to be read by other websites so that they can see what you're interested in. So you might have noticed you look on one, well-known online shopping site, and you go to another site and then you see an advert for the thing you were just looking at on the other site.
Yeah.
And the way that they do that is by cookies that are these little tiny little data files that are read by different websites. And sometimes it's good to be able to get rid of those sorts of things as well. So it's a good thing. There are some limits on it, I would say. There are some arguments that companies can make to say, well, we don't think we should take it down, like freedom of expression, for example, or if something is a matter of scientific or historical importance, then they can say, no, we think it should stay up. But by and large, there will be more control. But the advice, I think, is still that you should be careful what you put up there in the first place.
And that's including all sorts of details that people might want from you, including when it's not necessarily necessary, shall we say, phone number, email address, postal address.
Yeah.
It's often asked for. It's not always strictly necessary, is it?
Yeah, I mean, I look, far be it from me to advise people not to enter correct information when filling in some of these forms. But, some of them, I mean, if you are applying for a passport online, then yes, you should enter the correct information for fairly obvious reasons. Mm. If you just want to download an app and they're insisting on grabbing data from you beforehand, then, if a person were to slightly change their date of birth and the spelling of their name, for example, then, probably no harm would come of it, frankly.
From the file next then, Fevzi, of the easy for you to say, the Children's Commissioner having her say on the way children are kind of, are just consuming online data like no one's business, it's fair to say.
Yeah, so they're saying, so this is Anne Longfield, the Children's Commissioner. She's done an interview for the Observer newspaper, and she said that children are consuming the internet like junk food and that parents should be more proactive in stopping their children from binging, particularly during the summer holidays. Well, I mean, she's right. I'd say a number of things. Who's going to stop the parents from binging first?
Yes.
Because it's not just the children that are binging on it. And it's very difficult to do because it's no longer the case that the internet is this thing where you'd go to the computer in the living room and everyone could see what you were doing and where you were and there was limited time. These days, children aged 5 to 15 spend 15 hours a week on the internet. That's more time than they spend watching television now. Last year, the internet overtook TV for the first time in this way. So I think it's very hard. I mean, I would... Okay, fine, good parenting, great. But there's a limit to what parents can achieve with this. I think that there should be some pressure on companies that make their products deliberately addictive. So things like notifications popping up, things like games that get the endorphins firing off in the brain and all of that. I think these things are designed to be addictive. But there are rules about selling children addictive substances, you know, when they're of another nature. So
difficult to define addictive, though, isn't it? Because a lot of people find Facebook and Twitter addictive, for example, and can't stay away from it, you know.
Well, absolutely. You know what? There is a definition of addictive, and it's measurable in the brain. If you were to do an MRI scan of a person's brain when certain things happen in their online world, you can see... you can see the addiction firing. I mean, it's very clear, and it's the same parts of the brain, the same neurons and same neuroreceptors that are being released as in, you know, opiate addiction and other forms of addiction. So
I didn't think we'd end up talking about neuron receptors at this time on a Monday evening, did we? But we got
probably not. But you take my point. I think
yes, I do.
Parenting fine, but also let's put some pressure on the companies that produce these unnecessarily addictive products.
Mm. Let's finish with the gadget of the week, shall we?
Yeah, so this is a bit of software, and it's something called OmniFocus. It's an app. There are versions of it that you can buy that run on a Mac, an iPhone, an iPad, even an Apple Watch. So it is a task management software, but it's very sophisticated. And the reason why I mention it today is because I've always been a paper person when it comes to organizing. I know I'm very tech in other ways, but I've always found paper to be a very good way of organizing. You know, it has a number of benefits. And this is the first software that I've encountered that's making me seriously think about giving up my A5 day per page diary, because it's just so good. It's on the one hand, it's very simple. You just open the app and you hit a plus button and you can enter something which just goes into a bucket called the inbox. And then later on, when you've got time, you can apply more information to those tasks. You can put dates by which they need to be done. You can defer them. You can put repeats on them. You can put it as part of a project or turn something into a project. So you might put a bunch of tasks down and think, oh, well, that's all about me planning a holiday. So I'll make a project called planning a holiday, put all those in there, and it can do everything from something as basic as a shopping list to a major work related project.
Very impressive.
It's really sophisticated. I've given it 4 stars out of 5, and the only reason for that is there's no PC version, no Windows version.
Okay.
It's a sort of Mac type product, but if you're working in that sort of area, then it's if not the best, certainly one of the best.
It's very impressive, and it sounds significantly better and more reliable than tying a knot in your hanky, which has got to be a good thing, hasn't it?
Well, but you can put the fact that you should be tying a knot in your hanky in the device, and it will remind you to do it.
But you've got to remember why we're tying your knots in the hanky. Oh, this is getting really confusing now.
Oh,
Fevzi, great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your evening, and we'll speak to you on the show next week. Fevzi Turkan, the gadget detective with us on BBC Radio Oxford. That app, once again, OmniFocus, it's called, and you get it on iPhone, on iPad, on Apple Watch, and on your Mac as well. That task management app. It helps you to remember to tie a knot in your hanky, to remember to do something which you can't remember what it was in the first place.
BBC Radio Oxford.